Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Well, Fianna Fáil held its parliamentary party meeting last night in the wake of the fallout from that decision by Jim Gavin to drop out of the presidential race. Now, the meeting was a chance, of course, for TDs to express their dissatisfaction with the nomination process and to talk directly to the leader, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Well, reporter Barry Lenehan was keeping close tabs on what was said and he joins me now. Hello, Barry.
Good morning, Claire.
But it was a long meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah, a short night to be here with you this morning, Claire, after what was a long meeting of 5.5 hours.
5.5 hours. But it wasn't, and tell me if I'm wrong, as fiery as maybe it was expected to be. And that was probably down to the stance that Micheál Martin took, because he seems to have been emotional and apologetic.
That's it. And after all the talk of Titus Andronicus between ourselves over the last 48 hours, one Fianna Fáil TD now this morning likening the parliamentary party meeting to the Merchant of Venice, where the rebels were unable to get their pound of flesh. And that really coming after what Micheál Martin had to say at the very outset of this meeting, where he acknowledged the shock and hurt of Fianna Fáil members right across the country over what has been an unprecedented disaster for the party, a party which has in every presidential election electoral contest it has participated in, has won all bar one, and now, of course, withdrawing. He was emotional, people said, within that room talking to them last night and this morning. His hands were shaking and he apologised to those TDs and senators there as he did at the outset of that meeting. But a key moment in that parliamentary party meeting, I am told, was when the vanquished presidential candidate, the man who some within the parliamentary party are referring to as the real president since events of Sunday night, that being Billy Kelleher. He stood up, of course. He would have an axe to grind if he were so inclined, but he immediately called for a review of how things had been operated, and that was really seen as a critical moment for Micheál Martin, for the parliamentary party, that he was calling essentially for calm, for caution, and that perhaps took the wind out of the sails of the rebels within that room. But Micheál Martin, yes, very contrite, very apologetic, perhaps in a different mode to what he was on the 6-1 news on Monday night, which irked a lot of TDs and senators in relation to his comments then that they had picked Jim Gavin themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that's been his assertion right the way through, that it was the parliamentary party that voted for him. And they said, no, hang on now a second. You arrived with this person and you made it very clear who we should vote for and who we were expected to vote for. Isn't that their argument?
That is their argument. And they felt, well, how can we cross the leader? How can we cross the deputy leader, the Minister for Public Expenditure, Jack Chambers? And there are many people there. There are some TDs in that room last night. This was quite the experience for them. They had grown up on talk of heaves involving Charlie Haughey and so on. So they were caught up in the excitement and the febrile atmosphere of it all. But they would have argued quite, in their eyes, quite rightly, that when Micheál Martin and co are ringing you to do something, well, then you follow the leader. Mm-hmm. So that was their argument. But it was also put by the rebels, some of the rebels and some of those who have been in there quite some time, that Micheál Martin had been emotional before in this scenario. Two TDs in particular made the point, well, you were emotional in Cavan. And that didn't lead to any difference in how we feel. Will this lead to any difference? Cavan being a reference to a parliamentary party meeting, I'm told, after the 2020 general election, when Fianna Fáil were expected to do a lot better than they actually did. But Micheál Martin, he came in, he put his hands up, he apologised, and a commitment to a review as well going forward of how all this happened and how all went down.
And does that settle it, do you think?
Very hard to know at this stage. It's understood that the terms of reference for that review, that they will be maybe circulated next week to see what will happen as to how Fianna Fáil ended up in the position that it did. But TDs this morning want that review to happen quickly. It hasn't happened quickly in the past. So does Micheál Martin and the Fianna Fáil hierarchy, and there were calls for Fianna Fáil top brass, the hierarchy, including the General Secretary, Sean Doyle, Morgan, not by name, but to come before the parliamentary party and also apologise. That perhaps shows you the heightened atmosphere within the party at the moment. But call for that review to happen urgently.
And some of them, you know, challenged him on the timeline around how Jim Gavin was selected. Just maybe take us through some of what was said at the meeting and how he responded then.
Well, the TDs essentially questioned, how did you end up with Jim Gavin? And also lots of talk as well and lots of conjecture afterwards in relation to Bertie Ahern. Now, one Fianna Fáil minister who was loyal to Micheál Martin, talking to him this morning, essentially said that Mr. Martin was caught between a rock and a hard space, that if he'd opened it up to the grassroots, if he'd opened it up to all TDs and senators, that essentially Mr. Ahern would have entered the contest. And we know from what Micheál Martin said on the airwaves yesterday that he was perhaps against a Bertie Ahern candidature. But Micheál Martin sticking rigidly to the timeline. Sinti Ní Bhfuarach, who made what I'm told a very interesting observation and a very interesting contribution. She was contributing via Zoom and she had all the dates and times down to the very second of her contacting Fianna Fáil
legal
headquarters.
Training there.
Legal training, yes, the Eurovision as well. Sinti Ní Bhfuarach, douze poids in terms of this parliamentary game, but she had all the timings right in terms of she had contacted Fianna Fáil headquarters expressing her interest in becoming the presidential candidate. But she alleged, and I'm sure the hierarchy would disagree, that she didn't get a response to that as well. Okay. So that fed into it as well. Another interesting straw in the wind is one minister, I think it was Sean Fleming from Laois, a Fianna Fáil grandee, if you will, first elected as a TD in 1997, but he made a plea essentially for people to, again, I'm told, to stop endorsing, or not endorsing, but saying that they would vote for Heather Humphreys, the Fine Gael candidate, because essentially, if you're saying you vote for Fine Gael, what is the difference between the two coalition parties?
So what, he wants Fianna Fáil to stay out of this presidential race altogether, is that it?
Stay independent, if you will. And really, the party veterans, some were saying in that room, set the tone. Pat the Cope Gallagher gave a fiery intervention in which he criticised the leader and the party top brass for essentially presenting Jim Gavin as the candidate, going back to the timeline, going back to the allegation that some TDs were strong-armed into putting forward Jim Gavin. He made quite the contribution, I'm told. Joe Flaherty on the other side, the Longford senator, he made an eloquent and an emotional, what was called, contribution in defence of Micheál Martin, whilst Padraig O'Sullivan, who has been out in the airwaves quite publicly criticising Micheál Martin and criticising the process here. He had said in his contribution that people were taking issue with the idea that TDs, he had said they were frog-marched to support Jim Gavin. Mm-hmm. Some had privately said that that was an outlandish claim to make, but I think Mr. O'Sullivan had the Oxford Dictionary definition of frog-march to read out at his arm. But overall, it was a high-level game of poker in that room last night. You had Micheál Martin giving his apology early on. You had TDs, perhaps backbench TDs coming out in support. Obviously, you had party grandees like Pat the Cope Gallagher and co criticising Micheál Martin. But interestingly, the observation was made that no senior minister pitched their fork in this battle until the very end. I think the deputy leader, Jack Chambers, for instance, he was the 44th speaker on what was a lengthy night. And the allegation was made that the ministers didn't speak until our great colleague Mary Regan in The Independent made the point on Twitter that where are the ministers to speak at this meeting, and ergo they all came up then and spoke.
So you didn't hear whether Jim O'Callaghan said anything then?
Jim O'Callaghan was speaking, I think, but I don't have his exact words with me. It was a long night, Claire, so you've caught me out on that one. But remember what he had said yesterday. He said he was not challenging the leadership straight away, but he did want want to be leader, and he is perhaps the striker at the top of the Fianna Fáil team of 11 of rebels. He is their leader that they want, and the rebels this morning saying, essentially, if you look at the arithmetic here, Claire, around over 70 in the parliamentary party. The rebels say they have 16 that would automatically vote against Micheál Martin, and it is that middle ground. Of course, he would, Mr. Martin, have the cabinet, he would have those who are loyal to him with years, but it is the middle ground who are perhaps seeping away from him and seeping towards the other side, and it will be events perhaps over the next little while that will decide where they end up.
All right, well, we'll leave that one there. You did well now, considering it was a closed meeting and you weren't there. You know, we got a lot there, Barry. Thank you very much.
Well, I have my I have my ways and means, Claire. It was a late night, I will tell you, but
don't we know right well you have your ways and means. Listen, I want to talk about the two candidates that are still standing just briefly, Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys. They have a debate tonight, don't they, on Drive Time this evening coming up?
That's right. Yeah, they have a debate, and again, the campaign is now set for a reset, a cold shower, if you will, as it comes down between Connolly and Humphreys. And this morning, already straws in the wind as to how this will go. Reports in the Irish Times in relation to this controversial trip that Catherine Connolly took to Syria in 2018 with Claire Daly and Mick Wallace, which she's been asked about so many times. She has always said that she funded that trip, the Irish Times reporting that it came from the Standards and Public, it came from other funds. But Miss Connolly has released a statement this morning. She said that in 2018, while serving as a TD and in line with the Ruckus rules, she used a portion of her parliamentary activities allowance under the research heading to support that fact-finding visit to Syria, and the total declared for that trip to Syria was €3,691 as set out in her annual return. So perhaps a slight deviation on what she had said previously. The question now is, and Manny and Fine Gael raising this question as well, can Fine Gael's Heather Humphreys land a blow? Can she attack Miss Connolly on anything that has happened in the past, or indeed anything on her political record? Some question marks politically around that, and maybe some of the answers we will get at 5 o'clock this evening when Catherine Connolly and Heather Humphreys sit down in a studio close to us for the first one-on-one debate.
Great. Thank you very much, Barry. Barry Lenehan there. Coming up, Shane Bergen on his brand new science book for children. Next, though, we're going to take a closer look at the rising cost of fuel.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.